praise the Lord for that. I'm a pretty optimistic, pretty hopeful person, but I actually left the trip more excited about what God is doing in this generation and in our nation. And when I was asked to be here on Mother's Day morning, I said, are you sure? I'm not a mom. Like, do you want me to be a part of this? Like, it feels a little awkward for me, but like we heard earlier, we all do have a mom. And I think also processing and praying for you this morning and for this message, something that kept coming to my mind is some of you here in the room and watching, you might feel a little awkward on this day. You might feel that tension on this day. And I just want to acknowledge you and say that, one, I've been praying for you. And I know that the Lord wants to meet you in a special way this morning. He wants to meet with all of us. He wants to encourage us and really remind us of how intentional he is about the women that he's put in our lives. And so today we get to remember them, we get to honor them, and I'm really excited about that. And I'm super thankful I get to be in the room with my mom this morning. I'm really grateful for her. I've learned a lot of things from my mom. I've learned how to read and how to write. I've learned how to bake a cake. I've learned how to write a check. I've learned how to laugh until I cry. I've learned how to love and appreciate hand sanitizer. If you know my mom, I've learned how to be indoorsy, not outdoorsy. Some of your moms might have taught you how to be outdoorsy, not mine. I've learned how to stretch a dollar. I've learned a love for chocolate. The most important thing that I've learned, though, from my mom is whenever it's that time of the week, the month, whatever it may be, to invite guests over to your house, you've got to clean the house. I've learned how to do that, and I'm going to show you a video just to show you kind of what I've learned.
I want this place looking like Disney on Ice in 1 minute. Harry, if you haven't made your bed, throw it away. It's too late to make it now. Company is coming. Get rid of the couch. We can't let people know that we sat. These chairs need to be pushed in. There can't be any sign of living in this house. I want this place looking like a new Mediterranean fusion restaurant by noon. I want this place.
Anyone else learn how to clean your house like this from your mom? Yeah? All right. We've learned a lot of things from our moms. I also think it's really important to recognize that there are people in our lives as well, mentors, grandmas, aunts, people that have led you in your life that you look up to and that have spoken into your life. I like to call those people spiritual mothers. People have poured into your faith and poured into your journey who love the Lord and have loved you in your walk. And so I have learned so much from spiritual mothers, and I just want to share what I've learned even from, you know, my mom, my grandma, my aunt, the mentors in my life. Many of them have taught me how to pray, how to read scripture, how to memorize it. They've taught me how to have faith for someone else when they just don't have the faith, how to show up, how to be in church, how to give, how to serve selflessly, how to give without expectation of receiving, how to lay down pride in order to love others, how to work hard and to chase after dreams from the Lord. I've learned how to someday be a mom. I've learned how to now be a wife, how to be a teacher, a coworker, a leader, a mentor, a sister, a daughter, a friend. What have you learned from these women that God has put in your life? What have you learned from your mom? And for some of you, those things that you've learned have come from hard lessons. So it's been things that you don't necessarily want to follow after, but you have learned from hard, tough situations, and you've learned from mistakes. But those things have made you what you are today. And you are sitting in this room, and you're not alone in this room today, because by the grace of God, he is here with you. And he's sitting with you as you think about all these things that you've learned from those situations. But those spiritual moms in our life, they're important to recognize too, because thinking about the ways that they have shaped you and who you want to be someday, it's important. And whether they're here in the room with us now or whether they're not here with us anymore, we need to remember them. We need to honor them. And we need to thank them and thank the Lord for what they've done. I think about all the things that I've learned from these women in my life. And many of the things they didn't explicitly say, like verbally to me. Maybe it was something that I observed. A lot of things that I've learned from them were caught rather than taught. You know, I was in the room with them. I spent time with them. I was with them a lot. And so there were times where I was just watching and I was listening and I was asking, why do they do what they do? Or how did they do that? It meant the world to me and made a huge difference just being around them. It really impacted my story. I think of a story in the Bible of a woman named Hannah. Maybe you've heard the story, maybe you haven't. But Hannah was married and she was unable to have children for years. And this deeply grieved her. It was a tough part of her story where she would travel with her husband every year to go offer sacrifices to the Lord. They would go to this place of worship and they would offer a sacrifice. They would give their time. But as she was there, she would weep and she would grieve and she would pray to the Lord, even to the point where a priest noticed her praying and asked if she was drunk because she was such a blubbering mess when she was praying and crying out to the Lord. But after deep years of deep sorrow, the Lord answered her prayers and gave her a son. And this son's name was Samuel. And now what Hannah promised to the Lord when he gave her a son was that she would give this son right back to the Lord. And so crazy enough, after all this time of waiting, after all this time of asking the Lord for a son, she was faithful to give Samuel back to the Lord, dropped him off at that place of worship so that he could live and grow up with the priest. And a man named Eli, who was a priest, he watched over Samuel as he grew up. And throughout the Old Testament, we can see some of his story in the book of 1 Samuel. It talks about how Samuel grew up. It says he was a boy who continued to grow in stature and favor with the Lord and with people. Now, favor is this unspoken thing where people respected him. People were drawn to him. They followed him. He was a leader. He had this favor that was given to him from the Lord and even favor with God. God blessed him. It says this, that the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let not one of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet to the Lord. Now, a prophet was a person who heard directly from the Lord and influenced his people. And so Samuel was known for his integrity. He was known for following the Lord. He was known for these things. He was a good man. He was a godly man. But what I've never noticed about his story is this part that's up here on the screen. It says that he was ministering before the Lord. But look at the next sentence. This is verse 19. Each year, his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Each year. I never noticed that part of this story until recently. When I was reading through Samuel's life and I stopped. And it's just one verse. But I went, wow. Every year. We don't know too much about Samuel's childhood. Other than, you know, Eli raised him and helped him hear the voice of the Lord and helped him follow after him. But Eli wasn't the only consistent adult in his life. His mom was as well. And I think there's so much to be said about these few verses, about that little sentence there, about the continual impact that Hannah had on Samuel's life. It wasn't just about the miraculous birth story and how she gave him back to the Lord. It was about continually showing up for him. Significant. You see, there's this theory that if a child had five consistent, caring adults in their life that were regularly pouring into them, that they wouldn't just survive and get by, they would thrive. Like if they had five people, maybe that's a mom, an aunt, a coach, a youth group leader, a mentor, a teacher, someone who is pouring into their lives and showing up, it makes a world of a difference in their future. People who show up for these kids make a huge difference. I read an article of a piano teacher. Her name was Sandy, and she said this. When she was looking at her students that she was teaching and the progress that they were making, she says, at a time when I taught piano in a prep school, I noticed that some students were making better progress than others. Rose, for instance, was forging ahead and even learning a new piece all on her own every week as a surprise for me at the next lesson. Tom, on the other hand, seemed to enjoy his lessons and appeared to be capable, but was making very slow progress. When I did research into my students' practice habits, I discovered Tom's parents had not realized he needed to practice, but Rose's mom sat with her most days when she practiced. That says a lot. She just sat with her, just being there for her, showing up and sitting with her as she practiced. You know, we all have got stories of women in our lives, whether it be moms or spiritual moms, that have been in the room for us. They've shown up. They have been there when we've needed it. They've listened. They've taught us life lessons when we needed to hear it most or when we didn't want to hear it. They were there in the room. They were consistent. And maybe it wasn't just the things that they said, but it was the very presence of that person. You could see them face to face, and that spoke so much into your life. I've got a picture that I keep in my Bible of me and my mom, and this is an old picture back in the day. You can see I was a little bit younger, and if you remember, you know, these blow-up pools, anyone got one right now in their house that they have for kids or grandkids? The thing about these pools is you use the hose, and so this water is cold, all right? And I don't care. I'm having the time of my life down there, but I look at this picture, and it just paints this for me perfectly of what it means for moms and spiritual moms who are in the room for us. See, I'm having the time of my life. I am thriving right now. I don't care about any other thing in the world, but I'm loving this kiddie pool. It's a beautiful summer day. We're at my grandma's house, and who is standing behind me but my mom? And she's not just standing on the outside of the pool where it's nice and warm and comfortable. She gets in the pool to watch over me, to be behind me, to have my back. And that speaks so much to me of what she and other women have done for me in my life. I mean, my mom has been in the room for birthdays, for concerts, for games, for heartbreaks, for times I needed correction, for times I needed prayer. I remember all of those moments. It's hard for me to think of moments where she hasn't been in the room. Think about my grandma. She's an amazing woman of God. How she has been at so many plays, so many games, been in the room for the celebrations, but she's also always there to pray for me. I think about my great aunt, and another amazing woman of God who shows up consistently. She always makes the drive to see me when I'm around. I remember moving out to Kansas City, far away from my family, was really hard. And a few years ago, her and my uncle drove out and just spent time with me and my husband in Kansas City, and her being there in the room meant so much to me. I also think a couple months ago, I was here on the stage and I was sharing a song with you. I am working on an album, and I've been working on this album for years, and it's sometimes so frustrating because it has been so long, and I wonder, is this ever going to get done? But as I got to share a song with you, I was so thankful because a woman who is now my mentor, used to be my piano teacher, she has heard these songs from start to finish, and she came and sat in this room. And I invited her, didn't know if she could come, but she came and sat in this room and came up to me afterwards. And I didn't realize how much her presence meant in my life until she came up and gave me a hug, and I was just weeping, thanking her for the gift of her presence. See, all these women and many other women in my life, they have given me such a gift by being present. And it reminds me so much of the Lord. It reminds me so much of him. Let me tell you why. Back in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, if you go back as God is creating the heavens and the earth, as he is forming everything that we see, but also forming humanity, he creates Adam. Now, Adam he's watching over the Garden of Eden, and he's in charge of everything that's there. And he's walking around and he's doing his thing, but then God sees that he needs something. Genesis 2:18 says, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." So he creates Eve, he creates woman. Now this phrase, "I will create a helper suitable for him. This is really significant. The word helper in Hebrew is the word etzer. Can you say that? Etzer. You just learned Hebrew. Amazing. So that's spelled E-Z-E-R, etzer. Now this word is used to describe woman when Eve was created, but it's also used throughout the Old Testament to describe when God helps his people. That's pretty incredible. Even Moses, a prominent leader in the Old Testament, he named his son Eliezer, which means God is my helper. Now, fast forward to the New Testament, different language, different context, but I think it's interesting. Jesus uses the word helper to describe the Holy Spirit. In John 14, 26, he says, "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of all that I said to you." The very word that describes the help and the presence of God in our lives was used to describe woman when she was created. I think it's significant because when God created man and woman, it says that he created them in his image. And it reminds me so much of the Lord, because this word etzer doesn't just suggest inferiority, or I can't say that word obviously, but doesn't suggest that, you know what I mean, doesn't suggest that Eve was Adam's assistant by any means, or, you know, second best. It actually represents a vital strength that humanity needed, that Adam needed. So women of God in this room and who are listening, you have the gift of your presence. It's a gift. It truly is a gift. You've been put in the lives of your kids, your grandkids, your in-laws, your families, your nieces and nephews, your mentees, because we need you in the room. Just like Adam, it wasn't good for him to be alone. Our lives are better off because of the women that God has put in our lives in different seasons. We're so grateful that you've been in the room for us. It's important. It's how God made you to be, whether you're a mom or a spiritual mom. I don't know where you're at in this room, but you play a vital role in the lives of others. And so we don't just want to say thank you for all that you do. Because you do a lot. You do a lot of things every day. Sometimes it's not thanked. Sometimes it's unseen. And I think that reminds me so much of the Lord as well. That you are tirelessly working and serving others and giving so much. But I want to say thank you just for being in the room. Thank you for showing up, for being at the games, for being at the plays, for sitting down to listen and to hear, for teaching when it's needed, for sharing your wisdom, for providing, for praying, and for loving. Thank you for showing up and being in the room. It matters more than you know. And my invitation for all of us in this room today is to reflect on those women of God who have been in the room for you. Who has shaped who you are and who you want to be. This is an amazing day to remember that and to reflect, but also to thank them. To say thank you for pouring into me. Thank you for this moment that you may not even know was significant for me. Thank you. That is such a way to bless these women of God, whether it be mothers, grandmothers, aunts, mentors, spiritual mothers. Let's share our thanks with them today. For those that are here with us now, tell them. For those who are no longer here with us, we want to thank the Lord for who they were that has made us who we are today. So I actually just want to take a moment. Would you bow your heads with me? Just reflect on those people. Reflect on those women of God that have poured into your life, who have meant so much in your journey. I just want to thank God. I just want to take a second to stop and to thank him. Dear Jesus, we love you. And I thank you so much for the plans you have that are perfect and for the people you put in our path. to help us be who we are, to help us love you more, to help us follow after you every day. Thank you, God, for the women that you've put in our path just to be in the room. It has made so much of a difference for me and for us in this room as we reflect today. God, we want to honor them. Help us honor, help us bless. But God, we want to give you glory because you have sent us amazing people that have impacted our lives. So we thank you, Father, and we bless you. In your name we pray. Amen.